listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Ricky Gibbs from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the News and Observer's Restaurants Review section, from the Eat Raleigh blog, a local blog whose mission is to explore culture, history, passion, and people of Raleigh through its culinary delights, and the Triangle Food blog, a hobby blog that helps locals keep up with the latest Triangle restaurant news. Before we get started, here is a quick reminder of what the NNO ratings mean. 5 stars are extraordinary. 4 stars are excellent. 3 stars are above average. 2 stars are average. And 1 star is fair. Our first article comes from the News and Observer. I'll always be a foodie. News and Observer restaurant critic Greg Cox retires after 25 years. Published November 2nd and written by Drew Jackson. For more than 2 decades, News and Observer dining critic Greg Cox has sought answers to the most vital and basic question there could be about a place. What's good to eat around here? Quite a bit, Cox found, as his 25-plus years of weekly restaurant reviews and columns chronicled the Triangle coming into its own as a restaurant region. With a global pandemic halting dining as we once knew it, and having turned 65, Cox has decided to retire as the NNO's food critic, leaving a legacy of wit and taste and a broad portrait of the Triangle's rich restaurant community. In hundreds of reviews and columns, Cox wrote more as a diner's friend than a kingmaker. When I sit down for a meal, I've always wanted them to succeed, Cox said. If you're not excited about it, I don't know why you'd be a restaurant critic. Since his first review, June 9, 1995, he has spent his career searching for new restaurants to love and stories worth telling. He is someone who is everything that is good about someone who loves food, without any of the snobbery or pomp or pretension that people sometimes identify with food critics or the food world, said Andrea Rusing, the acclaimed chef and owner of Lantern and the Durham restaurant. To him, mom and pop places are as exciting as any fine dining, Rusing said. He was an early and influential advocate for the idea that the food that people make can have an incredible impact in an emotional way, whether it's a taco or a multi-course tweezered experience. Though his name is known, as well as his preference for shellfish towers and French food, much of Cox remains a mystery, particularly his face. Cox retires as one of the dwindling few anonymous restaurant critics left in the country. The myth and the man. Cox grew up in Asheboro, eating most meals from the family garden, with the occasional trip to downtown for barbecue or an all-the-way hamburger. He first collided with the larger food world through old issues of Gourmet magazine, captivated, he said, by restaurant reviews in New York or Los Angeles or far-flung towns in Europe. I found a kind of vicarious experience in reading those things, Cox said. Where I grew up, there was none of that. That got me into food. After graduating from Duke, he traveled to Europe, discovering the food of the world isn't so far from home. He connected French offal and steak and kidney pies to the joy of hog's brains and scrambled eggs and liver mush sandwiches after school. I loved all that. It was never weird to me, Cox said. Then in France, all you wanted was world-class cheese, a baguette, and a bottle of wine. Even as a student, I could afford it, and I was struck by this incredible, good, simple thing. The way butter tastes. The critic. Cox came to the News and Observer in 1995, hired as an every other week restaurant critic, a job that escalated into weekly reviews, columns, news stories, and coveted best of guides. He said he set out to talk about restaurants the way diners do with their friends. I've always wanted to be a writer since I was a little kid, Cox said. Not just throw out the facts, but to tell a story. I've always been fascinated with people and the stories behind their restaurants, and felt like other people would be interested in those stories too. Food critics can sometimes revel in snark and takedowns, but Cox found the bashing review a waste of one of his 52 reviews a year, he said. That doesn't mean he loves every restaurant, just that readers don't usually hear about the ones to avoid. The first thing people have to understand is that Greg is a very nice guy, said Andrea Weigel, the longtime N&O food writer who currently works as a producer on Vivian Howard's PBS series Somewhere South. Unlike in larger markets, where critics might revel in being scathing, that's not Greg's style, Weigel said. But if you were a longtime reader, you knew when he did not like a place. Cox's voice is distinctively Southern, deep and warm, and a voice made for radio, perhaps, though he chose a life behind a pen. That voice was often the only way chefs could connect the name with the man, as Cox would always call the restaurant while working on a review, asking questions about certain dishes and culinary decisions. Sometimes for smaller, lesser-known restaurants, the hidden gems he reveled in highlighting, Cox would call with a warning ahead of a gushing review, letting owners know they were about to be busy. You would look forward to, and fear in equal parts, that phone call from Greg, said Rusing, who won the James Beard Award for Best Chef Southeast in 2011. Cox honored both of Rusing's restaurants as Restaurants of the Year, Lantern in Chapel Hill in 2009 and The Durham in 2017. Cox guarded his anonymity using pseudonyms to make reservations or pay by credit card. He said the ability to hide in plain sight made it more likely his meal could represent the average diner. Once while reviewing an Italian restaurant in Durham, Greg Cox feared the owner might recognize his face. So he made a reservation for Halloween night, and he and his dining companions showed up in costume, dressed for dinner as a clown, a witch, and a skeleton. In the days before Instagram and Yelp, Cox was the only encyclopedic collection of the last few decades of Triangle Dining. There was no better educated diner, Weigel said. I loved calling him up because he had notes that went back decades on restaurant owners and chefs and locations. He used to chat up construction workers like a beat reporter. Cox's impact. Often, Cox would uncover something new, something he thought not enough people knew about. In 2009, Cox drove outside the immediate Triangle area to visit Chef Vivian Howard's Kinston restaurant, Chef and the Farmer. The result was one of the restaurant's first major reviews, with Cox bestowing it 4.5 stars out of 5 and calling it an urbane jewel. I realize there's no way a mere paragraph or two can do the restaurant justice, he wrote then. Chef and the Farmer is much more than just a stopover. It's a worthy destination in its own right, well worth the 1.5-hour drive from the Triangle. Without it, she has said, there may not have been enough interest in rebuilding after the restaurant's devastating fire, or for the award-winning PBS show A Chef's Life that chronicled Howard, her restaurant, and the ingredients that define North Carolina cooking. The next year, Cox may have contributed to kicking off the current bounty of great pizza shops in the Triangle. In 2010, Cox wrote as loving a review for a pizza joint as you're likely to find, giving Carrie Pizzeria Bella Mia a 4-star review. Before the review came out, the restaurant was dead most nights, said Anthony Guerrera, who made the pizzas with his brother Louis at the restaurant owned by his father, Rick Guerrera. Anthony Guerrera said it was so dead some nights, they would send a bartender to a nearby Bonefish Grill, where they'd talk up the great pizza restaurant around the shop. Excuse me, I believe that's a typo. They would talk up the great restaurant pizza shop around the corner. It didn't work. Cox didn't set out to play the role of savior. He just wanted a coal-fired pizza. At the time he wrote, the closest oven of that sort, the kind needed to reach 900 degrees and blister a dough in a couple of minutes, was in New York or Connecticut. He liked what he found, declaring Bella Mia not only the best pizzeria in the Triangle, but he later named it Restaurant of the Year in 2011. He truly saved the restaurant, Guerrera said. We were dying when he wrote that review, and it changed the entire restaurant. It went from nobody came in to people waiting 1.5 hours. Bella Mia has since closed, and Guerrera now owns and operates Oakwood Pizza Box on Person Street in Raleigh. Cox gave Oakwood 4 pepperonis in an exploration of new downtown pizzerias. What Greg does, he comes in and gives you a fair shake, Guerrera said. He's not Pete the Punisher, Pete Wells of the New York Times, but he's not too easy. He made a comment about the way we do our onions that stuck with me. I figured it out and changed them, and that's because of him. An evolving dining scene. The Triangle is a better, more diverse place to eat these days than when Cox first started writing about it in 1995. Where once there was just a couple of Indian restaurants, Cox said, there's a restaurant or at least a dish from every region in India. There are now at least half a dozen pizzerias turning out pies as good as those he loved at Bella Mia, Cox said. The variety of different cuisines has exploded in the last 25 years, Cox said. The Triangle punches above its weight. We have such an international population. The education is higher. The travel and dining experience of people is higher. No wonder this place is a magnet for really talented chefs. Though his byline will appear less regularly, Cox expects little else will change in his relationship with restaurants. Once the pandemic subsides and dining rooms return to their bustling selves, Cox said he'll be out there as hungry as ever. I was a foodie before I was a critic, Cox said. I will always be a foodie. Continuing from the News and Observer, named one of the country's best new restaurants, this Durham dumpling shop is expanding. Published October 28th and written by Drew Jackson. Sister Lou's Kitchen is located at 5540 Durham Chapel Hill Road in Durham. Their phone number is 984-244-3973. And they're also located at 3524 Davis Drive in Morrisville. Their phone number there is 919-949-4233. From a tiny Durham storefront, Sister Lou's Kitchen has become a dumpling phenomenon. Now the dumpling store is expanding, adding a second location and a new food truck. Owned by Chef Xu Ying Lu Blythe and her husband John Blythe, the restaurant announced this week it will open a new shop in Morrisville, moving into the former Bun's Barn near the Research Triangle Park. The new location will open up next month. Sister Lou's opened in 2018 in Durham's Straw Valley Shopping Center, serving up handmade dumplings and Chinese hamburgers out of a slim-to-go storefront. Quickly, the unassuming spot became one of the Triangle's most popular destinations for dumpling lovers. Last year, the legend grew even more as Bon Appetit named Sister Lou's one of the 50 best new restaurants in the nation. The couple have been looking to expand for some time, John Blythe said, searching for an empty restaurant space to take over. He said after building the original location, they looked for something more turnkey. Blythe said the new location will be open within a couple of weeks, by mid-November. The menu will be identical to the Durham store, serving half a dozen varieties of Chinese hamburgers, plus the main attraction, a vast menu of dumpling options, either steamed 10 per order or frozen by the pound to take home. The dumplings are definitely number one, Blythe said of what's been driving the restaurant's rapid success. But the Chinese hamburgers are really good too. In looking for a second location, Blythe said they set their sights eastward, aiming to cut down on the drive some customers made from Kerry for dumplings. COVID plan. With Sister Lou's founded as a mostly to-go operation, it didn't have to pivot much to respond to the COVID-19 pandemic. The restaurant closed for 2 months, Blythe said, as they worked out new operations. There's now a kiosk outside the shop where customers can place orders, or they can order online. When it's ready, workers leave the orders in one of several coolers to stay warm. People seem to like it because we've made it contactless, Blythe said. Soon, there will also be a Sister Lou's food truck. Blythe said the truck has been built and the kitchen's installed, but that it's just waiting on its wrap to arrive before it hits the road. We're ready to go, he said. Sister Lou's is located at 5540 Durham Chapel Hill Road in Durham. Their phone number is 984-244-3973, and their other location is 3524 Davis Drive, Morrisville, and their phone number is 919-949-4233. And a quick note, as of the time of this recording, that new location is open. Next, a review from the Eat Raleigh blog, Cheney. This was published in November. Cheney is located at 227 Fayetteville Street in Raleigh. Their phone number is 919-421-1774. Downtown Raleigh was just getting warmed up to the charming Indian-inspired cafe at the base of the Pointer YMCA when the world turned upside down. What followed for the cafe is a similar story for many of the restaurants in downtown. Closures, pivoting, protests, property damage, reopenings, and figuring out a way to survive. Even before the pandemic, Cheney's food, or as they would call it, tiffin, the Indian word for snack, bolstered the humble coffee counter into something more, a destination for dishes that were absent in the capital city. Street food like veg puffs, vada pav, chili cheese toasts, offering an exciting alternative to the everyday coffee shop. But there has been something that intrigued me more about Cheney than just the food. A spirit, guided by its owner, Preeti Vas, that seemingly seeks out ways not only to serve great food, but to definitely position, A spirit, guided by its owner, Preeti Vas, was seemingly seeks out ways not only to serve great food, but a way to be defiantly positive even in the face of despair. Whether it is spending time with Preeti herself or following along on their Instagram, the sincerity and resolve Cheney resonates brings a bit of comfort during this hectic year. While other establishments streamlined and shortened their menu due to the pandemic, Cheney pivoted to expand their menu, as well as giving a platform for local chefs that don't have their own shop. Cheney's weekly rotation of guest chefs named Spice Route Kitchen have featured a board series of culinary destinations, everywhere from South India to Spain. Chicken curry from guest chef Fingers Are Burning featured a rich and satisfying gravy that coated tender pieces of chicken. As downtown is in a state of uncertainty, and with many other restaurants that have failed us, the thing that sticks with me about Cheney is that it is worthy of our patronage, worthy to be a thriving business downtown. Cheney is located at 227 Fayetteville Street in Raleigh. Their phone number is 919-421-1774. Also from the Eat Raleigh blog, City Thanksgiving Dinner 2020. This was also published in November. City is located at 137 South Wilmington Street, Raleigh. Their phone number is 919-239-4070. Reaching the end of this turbulent year, I longed for the holiday season. In a year where everything was different, there is something comforting that despite all changes, Thanksgiving and the holidays are still happening. That being said, Thanksgiving was an indeed different event this year. There was no one that came over for dinner, didn't have to prepare beds for overnight guests, no travel to see friends or family, and no grand meals to have to cook. Instead, this year we decided to order our Thanksgiving meal from a local restaurant. Partly because this holiday season will likely be the make or break point for so many of our local restaurants, but probably more importantly, we've completely exhausted all of our culinary fervor months ago, and there would be no way we would cook anything more than craft dinner for Thanksgiving. I spent 2 days reviewing the extensive list of Raleigh's restaurants' Thanksgiving offerings. As if we were purchasing a new home, Sarah and I went over must-haves and deal-breakers for our meal until we both landed on City. City is one of those places that doesn't get enough credit for serving consistently great food. Their turkey with za'atar rub was the dish that allured us to City's Thanksgiving meal. Something about the very traditional and often condemned protein-like turkey mixed together with something as lively as za'atar really intrigued us. Impressively, even after reheating in the oven, the turkey was moist. I could have taken more of the za'atar rub on the turkey itself, but the spices in the gravy more than made up for it. Initially, we were pretty weary about the olive and raisin stuffing, but the distinct flavors of black olives paired well with the sweetness of raisins. Out of all the sides, it was the pan-seared Brussels sprouts that I constantly refilled on my plate. And what often becomes the true main course for Thanksgiving dinner, city's dessert offerings were made to impress. The baklava crust for the pumpkin cheesecake was what put city's Thanksgiving meal over the top for us, and it didn't disappoint. Combined with a drizzle of the apple lemon marmalade and a dollop of chantilly cream on top, the cheesecake was a well-rounded dessert that had enough spice and flavor to satisfy with each bite. But unlike other meals, Thanksgiving dinners aren't just judged by the meal alone. What you can do with the leftovers becomes just as important as the meal itself. And City's Thanksgiving dinner was versatile enough to conform to any meal I asked from it. Turkey and Brussels sprout omelets with gravy were a morning hit. For lunch, the turkey, gravy, and pomegranate cranberry sauce were used to craft an epic sandwich. Stealing inspiration from friends, I soaked some of the bread in the gravy before searing it in a cast iron skillet. But the tastiest application to the city leftovers were also the most ambitious. Trying to depart completely from the flavor profile of the original meal, I decided to try making leftover turkey lumpia. I blended garlic, onions, turkey, and a last bit of Brussels sprouts as my filling. While it wasn't my mom's original lumpia, it tasted good. As a final farewell to our last chunks of turkey, we cooked the original Kentucky hot brown recipe. After eating it, I will now always make this recipe with my turkey leftovers. When I was much younger, I thought ordering a Thanksgiving meal from a restaurant was something only for wealthy, snobbish, high society elitists. But instead, it was a great opportunity to take the night off from cooking, and even more importantly, an opportunity to support a great Raleigh business that's been so affected by the pandemic. I'm looking forward to figuring out where we'll order our Christmas meal from. City is located at 137 South Wilmington Street in Raleigh. Their phone number is 919-239-4070. Back to the News and Observer. A top Raleigh coffee shop will expand into North Hills with a new cafe and roastery. Published November 17th by Drew Jackson. Jubala Coffee is located at 8450 Honeycutt Road, Raleigh. Their phone number is 919-758-8330, and they're also located at 2100 Hillsborough Street in Raleigh. Their phone number there is 919-792-1767. One of the most popular coffee shops in the Triangle is set to add a new cafe. Jubala Coffee, with locations in North Raleigh and on Hillsborough Street in downtown Raleigh, will open a third coffee shop in Raleigh's North Hills. The new cafe is projected to open in 2021. Beyond coffee, the new Jubala will launch a pastry program and serve a larger food menu compared with the other locations. The new shop will have seating for 65 and offer weekend brunch when it's up and running. North Hills is a connector and leader in our city, and we can't think of a more perfect place to expand than North Hills Park Central, along with other local friends like Arrow, Happy and Hale, and Vita Vite, said Andrew Cash, owner of Jubala Coffee, in a release. We are excited to share a new coffee experience with North Hills' visitors and have the North Hills community join us as we celebrate and create the Jubala our team always envisioned, one that is fully engaged with the supply chain, celebrating our success with the most vital participant, the farmer. Since it opened its first shop in 2011 in North Raleigh's Lafayette Village, Jubala has been serving up high-quality cups of coffee and espresso drinks. Its second location opened on Hillsborough Street near NC State's campus in 2016. The company added a sister shop in the Transfer Company Food Hall, partnering with Raleigh Bakery Bolted Bread to launch wood-fired bagel shop Benchwarmers Bagels, The most significant difference for the third Jubala shop is the addition of coffee roasting. At other locations, Jubala brewed a wide range of coffees from Durham Roaster Counterculture, even offering free espressos on Fridays for customers to try different varieties. The North Hills Jubala will start roasting coffee beans for the cafe. Cash said he first became enamored with coffee through coffee farmers during a 2001 trip to Kenya. Adding a roaster is a goal 20 years in the making, he said. While 2020 has been a year of pivots, 2021 will be a year of growth, Jubala said Tuesday morning on Instagram. While our journey to this point has spanned a couple decades, we believe that we are only getting started in creating the company that we have always imagined, a company fully engaged with the supply chain, celebrating our success with the most vital participant, the farmer. Don't worry, Free Espresso Friday isn't going anywhere. 100% we'll still have Free Espresso Friday, Cash said. When Jubala North Hills opens next year, Cash said the shop's roastery will supply it and two other shops with most of the coffee served in the cafe. The goal here, he said, is to serve around 70% of their proprietary roasts, plus counterculture and other specialty roasters. One of the drivers of getting into roasting, Cash said, was employees reaching an employment ceiling at Jubala and leaving for roaster and other parts of the coffee business. There's an end game with employees. They become manager, and then we have nothing else for them, Cash said in a phone interview. This is about having an impact on the coffee farmer and creating growth and opportunity in the company. Cash said the company has around 43 employees between the two shops and will add cafe employees and a four-person roasting team in the new location. North Hills has seen some turnover in its restaurant tenants since the pandemic, losing Peruvian chicken spot Viva Chicken, Pharaoh's, and Be Good. But it's also added a prominent North Carolina barbecue restaurant, the Barbecue Lab, a franchised version of the Redneck Barbecue Lab in Johnson County. A specialty coffee shop has been on our wish list a long time, so we are thrilled to welcome Jubala to North Hills, said John Kane, CEO of Kane Realty Corporation. Jubala's commitment to its local community, its focus on the customer experience, and the quality of its product make it a perfect fit for North Hills Park District. Jubala is located at 8450 Honeycutt Road in Raleigh. Their phone number is 919-758-8330. And they're also located at 2100 Hillsborough Street in Raleigh. Their phone number is 919-792-1767. And we have run out of time for today's episode of Restaurant Reviews. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Ricky Gibbs, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. Again, that's 919-832-5138. You've been listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.